Welcome everybody to the April meeting of Warren Bunker Council. Acknowledge country. Council acknowledges the Gomeroi people, the traditional custodians of the land which the meeting is held and pays its respect to elders both past and present. Of the Gomeroi nation extends its respect to other Aboriginal people present. All mobile phones, will you turn off please?
And Mr Mayor, just a reminder to councillors and members of the public that the meetings are recorded, so we would ask you to refrain from any defamatory or insulting remarks.
One speaker for the public forum, Judy Clancy, to speak on town improvements.
To present to Council on behalf of Mrs. Rhonda Dewis, Mrs. Mary Milsom and myself, our request for the reinstatement of the Coonabarabran Beautification Committee to become a revamped, reinvigorated committee of interested and passionate ratepayers who want to see the vision for the town and community of Coonabarabran extended to not only beautification but including planning in beautification for the next 20 years. Our presentation comes firstly from our attendance at the last two community consultation meetings. On both occasions, it was here that the ratepayers put forward to council the necessity and their desire to bring vibe back into the town, stating how our main street, the first impression of our town, is lacking considerably. This, of course, then ran off onto other related areas of concern. For example, the ability of attracting tourists, new business, and longer stay travellers. The answer, unanimously, was agreed that to turn Coonabarabran around, firstly, was to revitalise the main street, to be an eye-catcher, show that this place is a place to stop, to live, or to start a business. Secondly, why present to Council in this forum? As I mentioned, this topic has been brought up at least two of the last meetings here. And I'm going to put forward that it is more than the last two community meetings this issue is raised. However, as with several other topics raised, that is the last we as a community hears of it. An example. Exploring the route around the bus pickup area at the high school, taking the route away from the highway, which arose from a separate issue of a tree branch falling on a car parked at the school. Was there an outcome? Hence, here I am presenting to the council, so ours is an issue not lost but addressed and perhaps today rubber stamped. Councillors, we wish you to take our suggestion of reinstating the Town Beautification Committee on board, as we feel this is an issue that is of genuine importance to the now and the long-term development and growth of our town, as is that of rates, water and sewerage, not something to be lost and forgotten by issues of the day. This is an area that can be continually worked on off the committee's formulated plans for our town, to reap advantages so desired by the community, especially now with the drought, with such gloom hovering over our community. For all to be refreshed and be reinvigorated, to grow and shine by community working for beneficial gains, we are asking you as a council body to approve today this committee with a place in council budget which we see will aim to keep our town polished, eye-catching and inviting by a solid community volunteer. Our forefathers who surveyed and drew up our town gave us wide streets, large blocks of land, all built around the river nestled under the beautiful mountain range. We have all the foundations needed to build on, and by establishing a beautification Beautification Committee, whose mandate is to improve, revamp, to install new confidence in the community, also formalising plans for 20 years ahead, is the way to progress, engaging the whole community. Let us rid the town of apathy and gloom, pardon me, and bring back vibe and get this action on the move. In formulating this volunteer committee, we desire to invite all ages to participate, to invite those who have skills to tap into, all those with the desire for community pride, those who desire a plan to put Coonabarabran in a strong botanical, structural and design position for today and the years to come, and essentially those who wish our town to progress and grow. This would be a concrete committee supporting the mission statement of Warrumbungle Shire Council, that is, the infrastructure and services which meet the social and economic needs and aspirations of the community. We three community members have over the past 30 years plus have engaged in many groups who have worked hard to establish a legacy for Coonabarabran, the gateway to our shire. We have been part of the town clock gardens, the town hall gardens, and the have endured from our input, albeit they need continual. Now seek that a step forward is now needed to set up, which is for the here and now. Groups, associations, and community members we feel that this is the way forward to address our town to be eye-catchingly.
Thank you, Judy. Any questions? Councillors got any questions, Judy?
Well, with the budget allocation, Judy, what sort of money do you think might like to run?
Ambrose, because this has just been come out of the community meetings, we haven't thought of money because that would be something the committee, pardon me, would put together under the banner of the council. But initially, I would see 20,000 of it to work to get grants. Not to make it a burden, but to get grants, work with the community, take things from the community that people are not only in thoughts, but in material. Get it started with a nice little budget, but then to work on it.
Would it be possible, see, we've got a budget to tick off today with all the numbers already pretty much in it.
Yes.
I think I commend your enthusiasm. I think it's a good idea. Would it be possible to get cracking and have a committee running for a while and talk about money for next year's budget? Would that be?
Probably not in the next year's budget, but I like the thing to get, you're saying, of get cracking, because that's what it's all about. You've got to get cracking, you've got to get in, you've got to get start at a point to move on. I know that we're a little late in coming forward, but I waited to see from the two meetings what the end was, and at the last one it showed, and I think we can draw on that.
Yeah.
Judy, do you intend going visiting other towns to look at some of their ideas and transferring them back to Coonabarabran?
Yes, that's not me solely. If you form a committee, it's an all-in-one, but yes, you've got to look around and see what's available, what other people are doing, see if it works for your town. But to be an investigative an instrumental body. Yes.
Mr. Mayor, you would be initially possibly needing transport or a way of transporting people around. Now that you are volunteers, you shouldn't be expected by council to do that with your vehicle, your fuel, etc. So I'm suggesting to you, maybe you would take up the situation of, if council were to provide a car when you required it to go somewhere, or you'd be paid a mileage, certainly on your own vehicle.
Yes, that would be a nice thing, because all volunteers pocket, and if council could provide transport, yes, but I guess that's all we need. Yes, definitely.
Probably just a question to Rod. to Roger, is would this be a 355 committee, or like a committee of council, or a total volunteer committee?
You can go either way. Certainly there are advantages in either. I don't see that for it to be a section 355 committee that we have issues around, say, public liability and things like that. So a volunteer group who could get together. I also don't see a reason why it couldn't be involved in perhaps another committee that's already in existence out there in the community, e.g. Kuna 2357 or the Town Development Group, or the Business Chamber, sorry. If you are looking at going down the road of a Section 355 committee, then I would caution council in relation to resources. Because with each committee that you have, we need to dedicate council resources to that, put out agendas, do minutes and all those sorts of things, and reporting back, of course, through council.
Questions that are raised in implementing things.
Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to make a point that supplying vehicles and that sort of thing for committee members, there's a lot of committees that run with volunteers, and most of them, or all of them, don't get paid for transport either to check something out or to even attend the meeting. So I think that's opening a can of worms. Thank you.
Thank you for your good report. I'll call for apologies and no apologies. So, disclosure of interest. Anybody with pecuniary interest or non-pecuniary interest in this meeting? Neil? We'll go on to the mayoral meeting. Let Roger take over there.
Okay, in that case, item number one, Mr. Mayor, which is the mayoral minute, Mayor's log of activities, a recommendation on page 7.
Councillor Shenton, second to Councillor Hill. I'll put the motion, all in favour.
Item two, Barry. Minutes of the ordinary meeting on the 21st of February.
A move of the motion. Councillor Brady, Councillor Lewis. Any comments on the motion?
Yeah. Oh, excuse me, it says 21st of February, then 21st of March.
Ah, sorry.
It's meant to be March.
Yeah.
I'll put the motion.
Item number three, minutes of the Traffic Advisory Committee.
Move.
Move Councillor Shenton. Second to Councillor Cable. Any discussion on this item? Item, I'll put the motion. Those for? Against? Carried.
Item number four, minutes of the Coonabarra Brand Sporting Complex Committee.
Lady, who's the seconder? Councillor Hill. Discussion on this item?
It's probably not related wholly to that report, but we've had a number of letters of complaint that people have been refused access to the gym in the in that complex, and another that people with a disability aren't accommodated very well in that building. And I'd also like to know, someone pointed out how much money council should be making out of that agreement that's down there at the youth centre. So I was just wondering if we could have a report brought back to answer some of those problems down there.
So that's point three, is it then, Councillor?
If you'd like, yeah. Yep. If the mover and seconder are happy with that.
Yeah. Is Councillor Brady fine with that amendment?
Yeah, I am fine with that.
And yep. Councillor Hill?
Yes, thank you.
I put the motion, those in favour. Carried.
Item number five, councillors' monthly travel claims.
Councillor Shenton, Councillor Doolan, second. Question on this item? Motion, those in favour? Carried.
Item six, Inland Rail Astro Trail meeting.
Councillor Shenton, I'll second that. Yep. Councillor Cagle. Question on this item? You should have
some,
Peter, yes.
Yeah. If there's any questions, I'm quite happy to to answer those. But received correspondence yesterday from Marnie Ogg, who is associated with Fred Watson. And she's inviting council to be part of a chapter of the International Dark Sky Association to help the future of the Dark Sky Park Declaration. She suggested that we that the Astronomical Society be the main driver, but council being the council, we've been asked to probably through the tourism body to have a representative on that committee. Doesn't meet very often. And it wouldn't be a large committee, but it would involve the Astronomical Society, us, National Parks and Wildlife, probably 2357, tourist operators, and Siding Spring Observatory. So it probably has a future, since we are the first dark sky park in the country, but we have two other chapters in the country that don't have any anything like a dark sky park. So they're there to support the Dark Sky Association's principles, but so far they haven't had any declaration in their areas. We have a declaration, we don't have a body, so the suggestion is that we should get one going. And yeah, just wondered what if the council had any feelings on that.
Councillor, if you could provide that correspondence to Ms. Ryan, and we'll take it up with the Tourism Committee and the Economic Committee. Yeah.
Right, okay, thank you.
Recommendation. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Sounds good.
It's been moved. Put it to vote. All in favour? Carried.
Item seven, local land services anniversary celebrations.
Move. Just, Mr. Mayor, I just wonder out of that. Out of that meeting, whether we actually gained anything, because we've lost the man that we could talk to quite easily, and it'd be interesting to see what comes of the new appointments in the new government.
motion. All in favour? Carried.
Item 8, Central West Weeds Committee.
Move.
Councillor Shenton. Second, Councillor Lewis.
Just if there's any questions on any of the things that were raised at that meeting. The biggest problem we have, of course, is this Hudson pear, which is a species that's got out of control around Lightning Ridge, is, and it's always been at a place called the Five Ways in Canambleshire. It's now moved into the Pilliga forest off Terrebonne Road. That's the West Pilliga. No one's really sure how it got there, but and of course, yeah, there were two small incursions on the Barrowdene Gurianawar Road, and yeah, we're having, as you'll see later, we had a special field day at the Five Ways to try and get a plan going to try and eradicate this weed totally. So that's all I've got.
Councillor Lewis, what do you got?
In relation to this and in the next item, I was wondering if council could obtain some posters of this Hudson's pear and display them in our local offices or anywhere where council's got a shop front to increase public awareness, because 9 out of 10 people talk about it but they don't even know what it looks like. It's easy to mistake for other breeds of cactus, and the cost of trying to fight it when it gets here is going to be enormous. If we can prevent it, it's going to save us a lot of money for the cost of a few posters, a little bit more public awareness, or people just saying, what's that a picture of?
Does the County Council have posters of it?
If we haven't, we'll get them for you.
That'd be great. And can I suggest that the County Council run some media on it as well?
Yes.
Yep. But if you provide us with the posters, more than happy to put them up around our offices, and if you can get them to provide us with some links and stuff like that, we'll put it on our website as well.
Yeah, well, anywhere, anyone along Castle Ray that's got land should be terrified of the prospect of it arriving, and the way it's gone, it will. I'll get on to Andrea and ask if we can get the posters post-haste.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, we already have the posters. Castle Ray were at all of our shows this year, and that was the main theme, was to try and promote that weed. There's also been reports in the Land newspaper and our local newspaper, and Canamble's newspaper, to try and reinforce what this weed looks like. But probably more important that our grader drivers know what it looks like, because you know, where we found the ones on the Gurianawar Road, you know, our graders had been operating there. So whether they've actually disturbed it and moved it, only time will tell.
The landowners where this has been found have never been notified, in my opinion, as far as I know, Peter.
Oh, well, fair enough.
They should be notified.
Yep.
The Pilliga, has it been addressed? Who's actually treating it in the Pilliga, the government or county council?
The County Council and National Parks. It's the land manager is the one responsible under the new Biosecurity Act, and that's exactly what's happening. But they're being advised by not DPI and Crown Land as well. And yeah, so it's a fairly large effort. The biggest worry, of course, is that if it's there, and that's so far from Quandra and so far from Lightning Ridge.
It could be
in the national park by now, you know, because it's only, I think it's 8 kilometres in a straight line from Quandra to the national park. So everyone's being made aware now to, you know, to keep your eyes out for it.
But the forestry out there, the national parks are out there, at Trimbone, they've been out there working on it just lately. Patient, everybody in play.
Item 9, Castle Ray Macquarie County Council.
Yes. Councillor Shenton.
Second.
Councillor Lewis. I've got one comment, Peter. They said the Canamble farmers were invited. They didn't seem to invite any of the Warren Bungles, any of them.
Anybody who had land that was around the area were the ones they targeted, because the Biosecurity Act, it's new, and a lot of people aren't aware of some of the things that are in there. But the farmers in that area are knowingly moving their cattle through the infestation, and then ringing Castlereagh Macquarie and saying, "You should see where it is now. It's 8 kilometres down the road." They're doing it, and we're going to have to. And the biggest problem we've got, of course, is Canambleshire. That's one of their best soft rock quarries. They mix it with their hard rock to make a road base, and they're spreading it as well. So everyone's affected, and of course with the Inland Rail coming through, that's even worse. But anyway,
motion, those in favour, carried.
Item 10, GO Trails Project.
I'll move.
Seconder, Councillor Hill.
Mr. Mayor, through you, this is just another tourism ploy that we'll have. The national park, since the fire, has exposed all sorts of new geology, and since we had that magnetics flown over the area, that enabled them to redraw the map, because the boundaries, rock boundaries, show up very well with magnetics data. So the geoscience geologists have decided to, in this case, with their GeoTrails project, the one at Warrumbungle is by far the most enthusiastic one of the lot, and the products that's going to come out of it is way greater than anything that we've seen before with the Coastal Council. So it's very exciting, and I'm proofreading some of the data now that's going through. So it's going to be a great asset to tourism in the area.
It'd be lovely if they could do Pilliga and Cooler Tops as well eventually.
Eventually, yeah.
Any more discussion on this item? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried.
Item 11, Coonabarra Brand Emergency Water Supply Project.
Seconder, Councillor Hill.
Any questions, Mr. Mayor?
Any questions on this item?
Just one, Mr. Mayor. Is there a plan to clean out the dam before it fills? Most farmers didn't have a plan to clean out their dams, but they were forced into it. And I was just wondering, here we are with our dam mostly empty, and a good chance to increase its holding capacity.
I've discussed it with DOI Water to clean it out, and we have had discussions before, and the advice that we have received was that desilting of dams was more a thing for, as you said, farm dams to increase capacity. However, it wasn't considered, at least not by DOI Water, to be something feasible for Taimo Dam. Something that we are looking at, though, is that a dive inspection showed that there was quite some debris accumulated upstream of the dam wall, which is large parts of trees, branches, things like that, that potentially can damage our infrastructure, like parts of the scour valve. And so I'm currently asking for quotes to remove that larger debris, not the actual silt or any sediments on the bottom of the dam. I think it will be quite difficult to do. I'm not sure how people do it in their farm dams. We could probably drain the whole dam and then get rid of it, which we don't really want to do, because we want to keep water in there. As currently we're not using it for town water supply. They may raise a situation at some point where we still want to use that, plus the advice was given that we may want to keep it there as an emergency supply for firefighting purposes, for example. So to drain it altogether is not advisable, but however, we are looking at getting rid of tree branches and things like that upstream of the dam wall.
My question with the proposal to increase the height of the dam, and increase the amount of water in it. When the dam was first built, the story I was told, they had planned for the dam wall to be increased at a later date. How much bigger does the riparian zone around the dam have to become if we raise the wall? Was that catered for, and would any private landowners be affected?
Raise the wall? I'm not really sure where your question...
Well, you've got a riparian zone around your dam where you're not allowed to build, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that. And it's so far above your top water level. Does that have to be increased or moved? Does it impact on any private landowners if it does?
We haven't actually looked at that yet. We've looked at raising the dam wall, and from a geotechnical point of view, it cannot be raised by more than 3 metres. I'm not sure entirely how far that would reach across adjacent paddocks, you know, how far higher, and if that land already is, say, claimed by the area of the dam. However, the yield study that was performed and aspects of the integrated water cycle management strategy don't seem to see it advisable to raise the dam wall due to environmental releases we have to make, and then the yield not becoming greater by raising the wall, however needing to spend millions of dollars to actually do that.
And with our town bores, we're coping adequately for supply, or is it altering the aquifer level?
Yes, so, well, we still have to do a final hydrogeological report, and that's still pending on data from observed levels in those. As I advised last time, we are recording levels that are coming from the pressure transducers in the new bores daily. However, we don't have them connected to data loggers yet. I had a meeting with the contractor that's going to install those yesterday, and they advised that next, at the start of next week, they can give us a timeline when these pressure transducers finally going in at the data logger, so we can start that recording period that then the hydrogeological specialist will use for his hydrogeological report. And that's something else that I also discussed with the person from DI Water. Just having a one-off read per day isn't sufficient. They would need to see how the well level drops and raises while the bore is kicking in and stopping, and how we can improve the impact of the aquifer by operating the bore differently, for example. It doesn't mean we get any less out of it, it just may mean we have to run it differently, say for example at a lesser rate for longer, or that's an advice we need to get from the hydrogeological specialist, which we can't get yet because we haven't provided the data yet.
I'm very concerned if the big rain event we had here 2 or 3 weeks ago and all the creeks and rivers run, they're dry again today. Where's the water going to? Has anyone ever done, I get enough sense to ring the alarm bell that all these centre pivots and bores into the aquifer are taking away all the water in the bush? Dunedoo's aquifer has dropped about 70 to 80 feet since the year 2000, and the water hasn't come back even after these rain events. And Yulandar Creek, I drove across it this morning on the way up here, it's dry. It had 4 metres of water in it 2 weeks ago. The Castlereagh River, it had 5 or 6 metres of water in my farm. It's not running. Where's the water going to? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to work out where it's going to, but no one will put their hand up and go crook about it. And we're going to run out of water in the bush if we don't do something about it. That's my opinion.
More comments on this article? Motion. Those in favour? Carried.
Item number 12, Council Resolutions Report.
Mover. People. Councillor Shidden. Comments on this article?
When's Binaway going to be finished, the campsite?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we hope that to be finished this week.
I think they've taken a bit of a hit with Hartwood. not having it available.
Bobcat was there working this morning when I come through.
Comments on this recommendation? Any discussion? Recommendation? Those in favour? Carried.
Item 13, revotes report.
Never. On this item. Motion, recommendation, those in favour, carried.
Item 14, draft operational plan 2019-20. Recommendation is on page 40. And just in item two, I just want to remove the commencing Tuesday, 23rd April. It'll be immediate. Just remove the dates, we'll just start it immediately.
Immediately. Item. Table. Seconder. Discussion on this item. The motion, I'll put the recommendation. Those in favour? Please. As against?
Item 15, Item 15, suspension of service approval, Castlereagh Family Daycare.
Move.
Second.
Second, Councillor Cable. Discussion on this item.
Is there a forward plan? You know, it's a 12-month suspension. Are we just going to sit and wait 12 months and then say, oh, well, our 12 months is up? And, like, is there a plan in place at the end of the year to re-engage community to see if there's a need for it to, you know, to be re... I don't know how you sort of say, re-registered or whatever, or, yeah, or... We just accept the 12-month suspension and then, you know, that sort of disappears and we never see it again and without any community input.
Still operating, just through a different banner.
There is no formal plan in place. However, having said that, it would be our expectation that we will monitor the situation, see what happens over the coming months, and that will set the agenda for where we go to after that. But as Councillor Capel says, there is a provider in there who is providing the service. So at this point in time, I'd be saying I think it's highly unlikely that we're going to need to re-establish the service.
We'll discuss on this item. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried.
Item 16, youth strategy.
Councillor Brady, seconder, Councillor Doolan. Comment on this item? Should be a lot.
I suppose a comment thing. I really believe that we need to act on it. We need to invest in it because the numbers tell us of, you know, the amount of youth that it's decreased over the last 20 years in our shire is, you know, scary, I think, and if we're not going to actively do something, well, Coonabarabran will be no longer, or, you know, the wider community. And yeah, I think we need to invest in it. Another question, I think it was in the 2017 budget, I put forward a submission for a youth worker. You know, that hasn't come. That got approved. I remember it getting approved, but nothing sort of happened there. Question?
I'll have to take that part on notice, Councillor. Was it 2016-17 or 17-18?
17-18, I think. Oh, no, 16-17, I think it was. I can't remember now. But it's been, it's been a fair while. And it definitely got approved in the budget.
I agree with Cody. We have kids that have got nothing to do, especially in the smaller communities, and we need somebody there in that space. It's also a space for mental health for young kids. It can be a space the two can come together. Disappoints me that we haven't got to it yet.
For you, Mr. Mayor, wouldn't the strategy come before the before employing a youth worker? I mean, what's the youth worker going to do? Where's he going to be based? You know, like
when we had one a few years ago, even though it was externally funded and that dictated the parameters, when that individual left for to become a carer for his father, I know there was policy work written after that point by somebody in that role because they weren't to go in the field because there wasn't the funding outside of policy. So somewhere in this organisation there are policies at least that were done.
It frightens me though with this whole thing, you know, investing and trying to reinvent the wheel. Surely we can have a look what other people are, what other shires are doing of similar size, you know, if anything at all, before...
They are doing. I work in five local government areas and they are doing it. We're lacking majorly.
So we should be able to get a strategy for cheap rather than rewriting something ourselves and just changing the name of the shire. I support it too. Yeah, I think it's a great idea. But I'd hate to see us wasting money. I mean, our economic development strategy is wanting as far as I'm concerned, and I don't want to see another document like that sitting around. But anyway, thank you.
What would you like to do with it? Would you want to move a motion on that, or?
Well, from my point of view, I think there's a need, but I think just considering the couple of motions before that we passed about our budget situation, I think as it stands, if we can, the recommendation is that we identify a source of external funding and make applications. I think that's a good move at this stage. And I agree with Councillor Shinton. I think we could probably rebadge some stuff from neighbouring shires that you might be able to have some input with, Cody, that you'd see that is good. But so from my point of view, I'm comfortable with the recommendation as it is, but if someone wants to change it, that's...
Mover and seconder, isn't
it?
Yeah.
What would the chances of securing funding be, do you think? Where do we go?
Very limited, I would imagine. We could always certainly try making a case for our situation. I think there are some things that would work in our favour at the moment. Of course, the drought being one of them, but that's not going to be just peculiar to us. An area that we do seem to suffer from is low socioeconomic factors, which limits our ability to raise revenues ourselves. Perhaps there's a possibility of going down a path like that, putting forward a case to a minister or something along those lines.
About to employ somebody?
To get a strategy done and then funding strategy. Implementation of the strategy thereafter.
Mr. Mayor, I've read right through this and look at it and it saddens me that the kids are all leaving, but wouldn't council as a group be far better off helping people to do projects that create employment so our kids have got something to do rather than running around with arty crafty fancy stuff. What our kids want is a job. They want a future. And it's not in our shire, because every time someone comes along and wants to start a business, we thwart them with rules and regulations and bylaws, and you can't do this and you can't do that. And the people lose interest and go away. What happened to our McDonald's that was going to happen 15 or 16 years ago? It just got thrown in the too hard basket. That's 50 or 60 jobs. Our IGA, all the trouble we had getting the Woolworths in going to meet rules and regulations. And we want to look at the big picture, not give them something to do of a Saturday afternoon at the youth centre. They need jobs. And we need to do things within our shire to create that employment.
Just from that point of view, Councillor, I would just remind Council that we have just recently taken on 4 or 5 school-based trainees across the local government area, several of them in Coonabarabran, one in Dunedoo. I would expect that we will be looking to continue that program on into the future. And we have also taken on, is it 2 apprentices, Kevin? Certainly got a water and sewage apprentice. We haven't taken on the plant mechanic yet, sorry. But yeah, we've recently taken on a...
I'm aware of that. That's within sight. But I'm talking about helping private enterprise. Get up, get going. The abattoirs, the IGA, the something to happen in Dunedoo and Cooler and all over the shire where there could be jobs, where we just make it so hard. The bloke that wanted to build a house on the Cooler Road, on the Warren Bungles way down there near where Gary Connolly sold it to him, that couldn't go there. How many jobs missed out on that because there was no home built, no development done, no carpenters, no plumbers, no electricians got a start, etc., etc. The policy that you've got to have 600 hectares to build a house is bloody ridiculous, and most of our forebears grew up on a 40-acre farm. We're driving people away. You don't need reports like this to prove that. It's just all anti-development and anti-progress. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
And as much as you say, Councillor Lewis, about the youth, you know, youth worker and jobs and that, that is a part of it too. It's not just arts and craft, but at the core of all of us is there is culture. It doesn't matter what culture you are. And that's with, you know, that helps with mental health, and you have to have good mental health to get a job and all that sort of stuff. And a youth worker does do, you know, getting kids ready for employment and, you know, different programs.
A sense of belonging.
Yeah.
Discussing this item. I'll put the recommendation. All in favour?
Item 17, investments and term deposits.
Move.
Councillor Cable, second. Comments on this item?
No.
Comments on this item? Put the recommendation. Those in favour? Carried.
Item 18, boundary adjustment.
Councillor Shenton, Councillor Hill. Any comment on this item? I'll put the recommendation. Those in favour? Carried.
Item 19, Coonabarabran Local History Group.
Over. Councillor Brady, Councillor Lewis. Any comments on this item?
Yeah, I think the rent's too dear, $500 per annum, and the lights are on up there anyway.
that again?
The nominal rent to cover the cost of electricity and water usage is $500 per annum. Well, they're already there. I've already got staff there. The lights are already on and the power's already, the air conditioner's already going, et cetera, et cetera. And these extra people in the office or facility should give it a new breath of life and maybe make the place more interesting and more attractive to the general public. They're actually helping us, not hurting us. And they're a not-for-profit organisation, so where do they get the $500 from to pay their rent?
We're in the same boat at Coola, where we run the Vic for nothing and pay for the privilege.
I reckon it should be $100 a year, Michelle.
History group's very grateful for this. There was a little bit of concern that they still might have needed a bit more room, and I just thought once they're bedded down up there, if we could just bear that in mind, I'm sure we will, that once everything's unpacked and everything has a place, there just might be a need for a little bit more somewhere. And if we could help them out there, if we could, that would be good.
I was involved in the visit to the Tourist Information Centre with Councillor Lewis. The issue raised about storage space, I think, is more anxiety on the part of the society, because having seen what they're storing, there should be ample room for storage, especially if they utilise some of the main part of the Tourist Information Centre, as has been foreshadowed. So I don't see that's a big issue. In terms of what Councillor Lewis says about the rent, well, we're giving the General Manager the right to negotiate that, and as a result, I think he can take the comments on board and see what's possible. But there are certainly savings for the Shire as well, savings for both parties, and I think there's a great potential here with the moving to the Tourist Information Centre. It will help both organisations immensely.
Would you like to move amendment on this motion, recommendation?
I'll move the amendment.
I'm not sure that we need an amendment. There's no rent specified in the recommendation, is there?
Put the motion. Those in favour? Carried.
Item 20, industrial land subdivision.
Mover. Councillor Kennett, Lancy. Councillor Brady. Item. Motion. Those in favour? Motion, that's not... I'll put the motion again. We're going to have hands. They're carried. They've got a rink in the eyes.
Item 21, part road closure.
Mover. Seconder.
My comment is, why is this taking so long? It's been going on about 5 years, or more, probably.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it has been a long, protracted process, there's no doubt about that. But one of the hiccups we first had was the road hadn't been gazetted, so we had to go through that process first. We've moved it along as quick as we can, but it gets tied up in the red tape and the bureaucratic stuff that goes on in other departments, so that's why it's taken so long.
It's been a rough little bloke from the bush. How come we had to get something gazetted before we could close it? If it wasn't gazetted, why not just do it? It was never a road, and I've been hanging around Binaway the last 66 years. And the money that it cost, $12,500 to close something that was never open, just seems silly to me.
For you, Mr. Mayor, I guess it's the use of the road that's there, and it's not for that purpose, so we had to fix that first.
And this causes issues around the licence agreement, does it not? For the use of the camp area?
I'm through you, Mr. Mayor, because we're not the owner of the land. We can't legally enter into a licence agreement with someone.
Well, so I'll go with Cody on this one. No one owns the land. It's a riverbank and it's just been there for public ever since wherever it come from happened. And it's for everyone to enjoy. And I don't think the government should be, I think government's sticking their nose in where it's not necessary and wasting taxpayers' money to do it.
Item?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I can't put my eyes on it right now, but it said we contravened the regulation before. What is that changed, or are we still contravening the regulation?
No, through you, Mr. Mayor, it's still contravening the legislation at this point. There's too many campsites or powered sites for the size of the area.
So what's going to happen?
We need to refresh the DA, but we're waiting for the ownership of the land to be sorted first.
Well, how do we go with that? Like, when the Lions Club initially mooted this idea and we took advice, it was to be a primitive camping area. It was to be something pretty simple. And it's grown out of all proportion. And there have been no DAs or anything lodged for the development to proceed as it did. Now it's become come to the point where it doesn't comply. There's got to be a line drawn in the sand somewhere and some common sense happen and get it back to what it was supposed to be, which is a primitive camping area with a limited usage rather than a five-star bloody motel caravan park style complex where I've heard people planning events where everyone's going to stay at the camping ground. They're talking about 50 and 100 people. And this problem is just going to compound. It's not going to get better if we allow that to keep proceeding. Kevin should remember when they were putting in the posts without proper bollards and protections and so on and so on. It's we're creating a monster by letting it go like it is. And then you, in all fairness, everyone's excited about their new sewage system and so on and so forth. It's not going to work. It's not big enough for what they're planning to do with that site. And the public have to be made aware of that. They're still only putting in a 10 to 20 person system down there. And you've got powered sites, you've got people who want to go there and live there, which they do. It's a primitive camping area. That's what it was designed for and that's what it should be advertised as.
Ms. Ryan, in relation to primitive camping areas, there's a maximum, is there not? Number of users?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. It's for each site, you're allowed up to 12 people. For each site in a primitive camp area, and it depends on your hectare area. So given the size of that area down there, off the top of my head, I can't remember how many sites would be allowed, but that's what should be used for in accordance with the area. But there is a consent has been issued for it. There was an approval done some years ago for the number of sites it has there, and it did include some powered sites. So you can have powered sites in a primitive campground. That's not uncommon.
Now, if those numbers are exceeded, what's the expectation on council then?
You mean what, if too many people are there?
Correct.
Yeah, well, council would have to police it or someone has to police it to say, well, there's too many people there. That's how it
should
works.
Should be a cap on the number of people.
And move them on.
Yep.
All as I can see is that council as a whole and the ratepayers over the whole shire don't have to pick up the bill for when there's too many people there and things fail and it's got to be cleaned up and it's got to be looked after. And two or three volunteers are not going to be able to cope on their own. Utopian, they think they can, but when push comes to shove, it's going to fall over if they get the usage that they plan they're going to do.
Mr. Mayor, through you, there are a number of primitive campgrounds throughout the shire, and I think we're going to have to just turn a blind eye to what's going on. National parks are in exactly the same boat out at the Sculptures in the Scrub. They've got a primitive campground out there. I thought it was you could only have one person per three quarters of a hectare or something like that. But their campground out there had 120 people in an area that's probably twice the size of this. They were living in one another's pockets just for the weekend. And when I brought it up with the National Parks, they said, don't tell anybody. So I think that's what we've got to have to do. If you want these things to exist, and you know, people like in Menduren are very happy with the upshot of the primitive campground there, where the hotel makes money, the little shop sells things, they sell fuel and all that sort of stuff. And I've noticed there that there is an increase when there's a lot of people in the campground, there's a lot of people in the hotel. So it's working there, but if we start to make noise, we're going to attract, you know, attract things to happen. So I think we should just turn a blind eye.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, one way is just put up a signage, how many vehicles are allowed there, maximum capacity, so anyone pulling in there can see it. Maybe that's one way.
We wouldn't be able to police it, really, would we? I mean, who's going to go and say to somebody down in a primitive camping area, you'll have to move on? I mean, I know the policeman lives pretty close in Mendoran, but I don't know how you'd police it. Might get punched in the nose for telling somebody to move on.
His job to do it.
No, it's not the policeman's job.
Rangers. Be welcoming people to the shire, not hunting them off, I reckon.
I think we should just leave a blind eye to it too.
Just one thing, it's not our job to be micromanaging the cost, but the $12,500 for the survey, is that external people doing it?
You, Mr. Mayor, yeah, that's correct. We sought quotes and that's the one that come back. Yep.
Yep. We do much of this work during the year. Is that something, survey work during the year? Do we?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we ours is a bit ad hoc. Kevin might have a bit more go on than I do, and I don't know if he's got people who are registered surveyors, but when it comes to something like this for a boundary, you need a registered surveyor, so that makes it a bit more costly.
Councillor Clancy.
Mr. Mayor, while talking of the campsite, has it been formally named Pump Site? Has it been formally named?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's known as that locality, so if we did have that opportunity to formally name it, and if it hasn't been done, which I can't answer that, I assume that's what we would call it.
I flagged that we should be naming that site the Len Guy campsite or caravan park, whatever we have to do. But an acknowledgement of all the work that Len's done towards that project, but at the same time, Len is a citizen in Binaway, and I believe he deserves the right to have something named after him because of the work that he's done.
Isn't it Lengai Park?
There's a park already named after him.
He's got the Len Guy Park down the main street, Fred. Yeah. Motion. Hands, please. Carried.
Okay. Item 22, recycling systems.
Councillor Cable, seconder, Councillor Hill. Why's the big trouble at Mendoran so we can't put it in down there? What's, how big is the trees or what's the gaper?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I had a site inspection there a while ago, and the boundary's quite close to the road, but also it's very heavily vegetated along that fence line. So the actual ATCO hut where the person sits is almost like it's more than 100 metres away. It's probably 200 metres away from the road, which is not a huge issue, but there is a fair expanse of area between the boundary and where the transfer station is. But yeah, no, we need to look at those trees before we knock them out and make sure we're not breaching any legislation there.
Motion. Those in favour? Carried.
Item 23, alcohol-free zones.
Mover. Mover Councillor Nutsi. Kent Brady, seconder. Item. with the motion. Those in favour? Carried.
Item 24, development applications.
Move.
Councillor Brady. Discussing these items.
Just what's the new signage on Bolaro Street down Dunny Doo? Is that those? No, sorry, I'll wait.
Not sure. No.
I don't know what the signage is.
I wondered what the signage was.
What sort of signage? What sort of signage is it?
I don't know.
Okay. Oh, okay. You're referring to it on here, are you? Or is
yeah.
It?
Yeah, sorry.
The DA.
Which number there? Oh, righto. Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. It would possibly be for. I'm trying to think what it's for. Top of my head, I can't tell you. I'm thinking banner poles. Could be entrance signs to Shire, but it's probably not that because that'd be on the boundary.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'll have to take that one on and come back.
Yeah.
In today's paper, the banner poles are.
Yep, so they're probably, they're not approved yet then, they're still out on exhibition. Yep.
Any more discussion on this
head,
item?
I'll have to find out. Yep. No.
Well, put the motion. Those in favour? Carried.
Item 25 reports to be considered in closed council. Item 25.1 is the organisational development monthly report. Referred to closed council under 10A2A of the Local Government Act.
Councillor Brady. I'll put the motion. As in fact, carried.
Item 25.2, Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Information Report. It's being referred to closed council under 10A2G of the Local Government Act.
I'll put the motion. Any mover? Mover? Councillor Doolan, Councillor Hill. I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
That's what we're doing.
Those in favour? Carried.
Mr. Mayor, the opportunity now exists for those members of the public to come forward and state their reasons why council should not go into closed council to consider those items. Mr. Mayor, there are no submissions from the public in relation to that, so there's a further recommendation there that the council now go into closed council, exclude the media and public, and withhold reports and correspondence. A motion from council, please.
Councillor Brady, Councillor Cable. Motion, those in favour? Carried.
Mr. Mayor, we're just returning to open council. Could you just open the doors, please? Kim? Just while the doors are being reopened, Mr. Mayor, just a reminder that there was an item raised in public forum this morning, whether council wants to deal with that, seek a report or something along those lines. But we'll talk about that momentarily. In returning to open council, there are some recommendations. The first is in relation to item 25.1, which is the Organisational Development Monthly Report. There was a motion that the Organisational Development Monthly Report for April 2019 be noted for information. That was moved by Councillors Capel and Doolan. Then there was a matter of 25.2, which is the Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Information Report. The resolution of closed council, I should say, was that council endorsed the actions as outlined in the report in relation to the Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Project, and that was moved by Councillors Doolan and Hill. So, Mr. Mayor, I there's that matter of the public forum, whether you want to deal with that or seek a report, something along those lines.
Public forum, anybody want to comment on that one?
I think if there's going to be a resolution, Mr. Mayor, then it needs to be dealt with as urgent business.
Urgent business.
Do we do the best job if we make an urgent business now, or do we get a report, do you think?
If you like, I can request staff to prepare a report, and we'll just leave it at that, if you're happy with that.
We're in your hands, Mr. Doyle. Everyone else can speak for themselves. So what would you recommend? I think it's something we should be doing. If we've got keen people that want to give us their skills, I think we should take them up on the offer. As quickly as possible.
If you're wanting to go down that path, you need to deal with it. It's business of great urgency. If you are going to go down that path, then there are some areas of caution that I need to put to council. And they include, of course, what I said earlier today about committing resources to it and the likes. The other area of concern for me is that by doing what you by creating a Section 355 committee and committing resources to it, you actually, in effect, you're creating that as a priority. And I'm going to say, is this a priority over all your other priorities? And then there is the issue of, is this a priority for Coonabarabran over all the other communities? I'm a believer that if council is keen on this sort of thing, then you need to develop a strategy across the local government area rather than just committing to one area. And then out of that strategy, you develop your priorities, and if Coonabarabran becomes a priority or something like that, then you'll allocate some resources to doing a project in Coonabarabran or wherever it's going to be.
Well, could we have a more a different style of committee, maybe with one or two councillors that might like to put their hat in the ring to be work with those community people and use the councillor to bring that back to council? Would that be doable?
If some councillors wanted to get together and meet with individuals in the community themselves, they're more than welcome to. And
not on an ad hoc basis. I think we'd have a bit more of a structure to it. But would that be?
From that point of view, there's as I spoke earlier today, you've got can this group be involved in another committee within the community already, such as 2357 or the business chamber or something like that?
I think they're, from my point of view, and everyone else can have their say, I think they're pretty targeted and focused in this area. I think it might get a bit diluted if we tack it on to something else.
I think a better avenue is through one of the existing committees as a subcommittee of that. That's how the Cooler District Development Group operates. We have subcommittees. They're focused on what they enjoy doing, and they just report to the main committee. So, for example, Jump the Stump, who you've probably heard about, looking at a skate park for kids. They're running with it. We're just the incorporated auspicing body, and we give direction, make sure they're aware of all the grants, make sure they're aware of how to go about doing budget submissions, things like that. But I endorse what the GM says. You do it for one community, you've got six. And then you've got some hamlet/villages that probably would want something as well.
Yeah, I agree with Councillor Capel, and then I think, you know, funding may be more available through development coordinators that are associated with the district development groups. I think it might be easier to get funding that way.
So I think what this is suggesting is we wait for a report, Mr. Mayor.
Question.
If councillors are happy, I'll ask the staff to develop a report and bring it back to a future meeting of council.
I think this is a bit heavy, what we're doing here, talking. Those ladies that were mentioned are passionate about Coonabarabran, and they want the help. They don't want to do it, they want the help, and they want to pick up support along the way. And we all heard the community talk about it the other night, that, and they didn't reinvent the wheel here today when Judy did her presentation, but all of a sudden it's all too hard because of a 355 council body or something like that. Get on with it. So, how about we try and recruit people? They can be on the committee, but we'll screen them as they go. After they're after a association to that will, whilst looking after gardens and beautification, they will want to assist the people out there that are struggling with the being in business because of the drought. It's all encompassing. But this talk about committees, how we're going to do it. Ask them when you get them together. Call them a meeting just for those that are interested in being on the beautification committee. And then start.
Sounds a good idea, Fred, to me, but I don't know whether it'll work or not. But
that does sound like a good idea to me too, at the same time as a report might be coming to us. Would that be something you might be interested in, Councillor Bader, to call
them out? Yeah, no, I take people? Everyone's point on board, especially there we have got six communities. The Progress Association does Barradine's sort of beautification. We have got 2357, I'm on that. Again, resources, 10 hours a week of a community coordinator, like, so it is hard. And I do think council sat on their hands too long, and our streetscape and that, like, ratepayers are here in the community, and you know, you look at other thriving centres and that, and what they're doing for their ratepayers. You know, I think it is a responsibility of council to provide a nice streetscape, not just palm it off to volunteers.
Well, at the same time as we're getting that report, would that be something you might be able to get in contact with those keen
people? Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to be involved.
We could have a report from yourself saying, well, this is what they'd like to have, and we could marry that up with what the advice the GM might give us.
And then also, I suppose, you know, how serious is the council going to take a volunteer committee as well? Like, you know, as much as we can sit here around the table and sort of thing and say, oh, well, they're, as if it was a 355 or something like that, and I know it does take our resources, like, you know, has it got more pull in the system?
You're already on that 2357 committee, taking Councillor Capel's idea, you could be the person to drive a subcommittee to...
I just see that this is going to turn out to be, you will go along and listen to them, and yet you already have your back out, we haven't got any money. They just want you to get in and have a go. See if you can get some money from somewhere. See if council will give them a stakehold in it all. Like I say, they're not reinventing the wheel. People are out there talking daily about shopping out of town. Do your shopping in town. Well, that's Chamber of Commerce work, and they're a committee, aren't they? They could form a committee.
And then I suppose I'll just make comment. About 6 months ago, I found a Coonabarabran Times, 15, 20 years old, of Coonabarabran's streetscape, how it was proposed and that. It was beautiful. But where did that go? That just got shelved. It was front page of the Coonabarabran Times.
Yes, that was.
That was
right, too.
Like all the other plans, MIA.
Plan that you might as well use as toilet paper.
Yeah.
Can anybody come up with a motion what we should do?
Well, you can help me with the spelling, but we have a report be prepared on the implications of having a, or on the implementation of a town beautification committee, while at the same time the council deputises Councillor Brady to meet with the interested parties and invite them to give him their ideas about what we can, what they would like to do. And you might be able to suggest possibly being a subcommittee of the 2357, and you could be the council contact on that.
Happy to do that.
Well, maybe we can pick up some of these young people that are standing around doing nothing, you know, the 12 to 25 year olds or whatever we were talking about before. Maybe some of them might like to learn a bit about botany or something on the way along.
Don't mention work, that'll scare them off.
A bit long-winded, I know, General Manager. I'm sure you'll be able to sprinkle fairy dust on it. And
yeah. Just to clean up some formalities then, Mr. Mayor, a motion to determine this as business of great urgency. So I'm assuming Councillor Doolan is moving that way.
I'll move that.
Mr. Mayor, is there a seconder?
Seconder. Councillor Clancy.
The motion.
I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried.
Mr. Mayor, are you declaring this business a great urgency?
Yes, I'll declare it great urgency.
Councillors, in that case, I believe Councillor Doolan is moving 2 points. One, that a report be prepared on the implementation of a town beautification committee, and two, that Councillor Brady be authorised to meet with local people who may be interested in participating in such a committee and reporting back to Council. Is that correct, Councillor Doolan?
That's the very essence of it, General Manager. Thank you for that.
Mr. Mayor, is there a seconder?
Councillor Brady.
Can I just ask a question, Roger? Is there resources there to be able to, because I want to open it to, you know, there could be people out there in the community that we don't know that is passionate about it, like, you know, to put an ad in the paper or social media when we...
We can certainly do a media release and put it on social media and things like that, yes.
In Coonabarabran?
Only do, obviously.
You've got a different internet down there.
I don't think there's that many people standing around doing nothing.
Councillor Lewis, what are you?
I want to talk on another matter if that one's finished.
Haven't been voted on?
No.
I'll put this motion first and we'll vote on this one. Everybody in favour? All right, carried.
The Anzac Day, we've got six councillors laying wreaths. Who and where?
We've got that to go through in a moment, councillor.
It's another matter of urgency.
Well, we can deal with that once the council meeting is closed, Mr. Mayor.
No further business, I'll close the council meeting.
There was a desire at the last community meeting that we move the town life markets back to Nelson Park. Is that something we could deal with now, or you want to wait till next meeting?
We don't run the town life.
Well, I think they wanted permission to be able to go back to Nelson Park.
I think that's a matter where we're happy to discuss it with the organisers. Would we not?
I think if we had a letter or a formal approach from them.
We can organise that.
And no further business, I'll declare the meeting closed.
Thank you.
33 a.m.
Thank you.
We've got another item about the